Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hi, good afternoon, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Indeed, it's the Independent Wrestling Podcast. Mike here, talking some independent wrestling. Of course, got a wonderful interview and a great guest here as always, but before we talk to him, couldn't do this without my wonderful co-host, Righteous Reg. How are you?
In the building, it's your boy, Media Man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. It's Wednesday, so you know what time it is. Time to talk independent wrestling, Mike, and we got a very special guest today, so I think we should get right into it. You know what I'm saying? Because this person has been traveling the world at this point. Anytime we have a world traveler, I have a lot of questions about what goes into stuff like that. So let's get into it, my man.
Absolutely. I've been to an independent show anywhere in Ontario in the last 10 years. You've probably seen this man. But if you've been, been to some shows in the U.S. and plenty of shows in Europe now, you've probably also seen him as well. Von Vertigo's here. How are you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Awesome. Welcome to the show. Yes. World traveling. I know you just got back from Europe. Instead of kind of going, how am I going to get into the U.S.? You're just like, let's go to Europe.
Yeah.
It's the Mike Bailey approach, really. That's what I look at it as. Like, he wasn't able to go to the States, so he said, I'll just go everywhere else, basically.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it works, you know? I know you did just get back from a bit of a trip. How you feeling now? You get past the jet lag and everything?
Oh, yeah. The jet lag's no problem at this point. It's good. I always just, I kind of get back and I get a little bit depressed and miss it, to be honest. Every trip. Sure. Like, it's been 9 times now and I just come home and I'm like, man, I just really enjoyed it. I just can't wait to go back.
Oh, yeah. You get as soon as you get home from a vacation or anything, like, nice road trip, even it's, you know. Oh.
Yeah, it's not quite a vacation. But
yeah,
I mean, just kind of, not necessarily knowing where you're going to sleep every night. It's like taxing and like anxious as a person I am. Like, it's the best experience.
Hell yeah. I want to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way with you, though, because you mm-hmm. did also have a match on C4 or match air on IWTV for C4 last night. You put out this
video
a week ago. You're talking all this shit. And then you
lost. Sorry. And was I talking shit? What did I say that was false?
Okay, you did speak. Okay, you did speak.
He's lactose intolerant.
You did speak a lot of facts. You did lose to an allegedly lactose intolerant Myung Jae Lee. Are you aware that your accusations of lactose intolerance caused his own family to question him about it over Thanksgiving?
I'm very aware, and quite honestly, I don't give a damn.
If it caused chaos
at an American Thanksgiving, that's kind of the goal.
He mentioned that too. I was like, I have to ask about this. That's insane. You baited his whole family.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he posts photos of himself eating ice cream all the time. So why not just, say, hey, he's lactose intolerant. I didn't mean any harm by it. He was just stating something.
Wow, exposing people. So he came back though, and he rectified the situation.
Yes, but to be fair, I did. I pinned London Lightning for about 10 seconds before that, but the referee was distracted.
You did, yes. You did win that match like 3 times.
I technically did win the match by like 7 seconds.
Yeah. Let's get back to you, though. Well-traveled, you mentioned 9 trips now. How did, like, the first trip come together and, like, lead to 9 more?
The first trip came together when I was 20 or 21. I was trying to get on Smash Wrestling here in Canada, and at the time, Smash was probably like the top big promotion we had, because they were kind of working with like Progress and a bunch of other companies at the time, CCW and stuff. And I went to them and I said, "Hey, how do I get on this company?" And they just kind of said, "Well, you're not there yet. You haven't built a name," and rightfully so. Like I didn't. I was just a wrestler in Ontario, like any other person. So I looked at that and I kind of said, "Well, you know, who do I know?" And I knew this guy from YouTube named Oliver Peace, who runs WrestleForce in England. And I said, "Well, you know, fuck it. Why don't I just go to England? I mean, the scene there, I've heard, is incredible." I went there. The first person I wrestled was Kip Sabian, who's now in AEW, and I wrestled Paul Robinson and Elton Prince, who's now in WWE as well. So, like, the first tour I had was, like, really, really successful. Mind you, they were all, like, smaller family shows. But from there, because I wrestled these people that were kind of on the up in the UK scene, it just got better and better, and more and more people were able to vouch for me.
So it's kind of like a betting on yourself situation is what it kind of turned 100%.
Into. 100%. I think as a Canadian, we pretty much have no choice because the American border is so difficult and can be kind of sketchy for some of us.
Yeah.
We kind of have, unless you're showing up on the scene, you know, if you're like 6'8" and you're jacked, like, you know, WWE might take you immediately. I am none of those things. So I knew that I had to work and, you know, kind of go a little bit out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, junior heavyweight in Canada is like, if you're in that kind of like body type, like frame, you're, you know, it's, you just got to find, you got to figure it out. But I like it. It's like, it's working smarter and harder. Right. You know, you recognize the U.S. barrier, and instead of just like, you know, beating your head at the door on it, or, you know, risking also the, you know, potential ban.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had guys like Josh Alexander and Ethan Page telling me like they spent, you know, 10, 12 years in Canada, you know, basically getting nowhere, where, you know, if they spent a year focusing on a different country, that's kind of where they were able to, you know, find some success. So I just took that and kind of ran with it.
So how many years ago was like trip number one then?
It was 2017. April 2017. I watched WrestleMania there where the Hardys returned at like 3 a.m. or something. Oh, that's why I remember.
Yeah, that time zone watching. Oh, poor UK viewers watching.
Poor everybody.
They do. There's so many people too. Like, I'll see it online. Like, people live tweeting about it. I'm like, why are you awake? It's like 4 a.m. watch a replay tomorrow. You guys are sickos.
Being up at 5:30 a.m. to watch Randy Orton is insane. But you know, I digress.
Exactly. They're just used to it. That's just the culture.
Yeah. So like 9 times in 6 years is a lot of trips though. So like, what have you been paying attention to, like, you know, patterns and trends of you know, your, like, how your bookings are going and you know, how they're growing and, you know, response to you?
Yeah, it's always been like a case of each time right before I leave, you know, I'll have a set amount of bookings and I'm looking at them being like, this isn't enough. There's not enough going on. I feel like this isn't enough. And then I go there and then, you know, I add a few bookings on top of that. And then I'm just like, oh man, that was like the best trip ever. And literally every single time I've said that, it's just always gotten better. Like this last one I did, I think it was 6 different countries. I was like Denmark, Sweden, Germany, England, Wales, France, I think. And it was just like a month of just like bouncing around to like the top companies in these little holes, you know. It was the best. Like I thoroughly enjoy the European scene. Like, I love it to death. There's so many incredible wrestlers over there as well that I don't think the American indies have even heard about. Like, you've now seen, like, a Michael Oku and man like Darius is popping up now. Like, those guys are absolutely unreal.
Yeah, like Leon Slater getting with Impact now.
I was supposed to wrestle Leon, like, right before the pandemic. Brent Banks and I were there. We were in, I think it was, like, Preston, England, and then the pandemic was going down. And we knew we had this, like, tag match with Leon Slater when he was like 14 or something like that. And then the border closed and we're like, oh shit, we guess we gotta go home. Like,
yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
you made some, I was gonna say, like, you've because I've seen you've forged some like friendships over there too. I know you and Joe Lando have gotten pretty close.
Yeah, Joe and I are close. I've stayed at his parents' place a few times. I wrestled in his backyard wrestling ring It's just a ring in the backyard. It's not actually a backyard wrestling ring, but
yeah,
it's the best. You can, it has a trampoline right beside it, so you can like do flips onto the trampoline and stuff. It's unreal.
That's where it gets it at.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's it's total like Will Ospreay shit.
That's where that crazy elbow drop came from. It's the Mad Science Lab. Joe Lando does some wild stuff.
Yeah,
he's definitely a wild kid. Yeah. He's still like super young too. I think he's like 23 or something.
Wow. Yeah, he came over I think last year for like some independent dates, and I saw him on a bunch of shows, and it was my first time getting exposed to him, and I was like, okay, definitely going. And now
that's the thing. They get like one GCW, and then all of a sudden there's all these eyes, and it's like, where have they been all this time, right?
Yeah,
crazy.
Same when it's the same when they went over like kind of with Leon Slater. It's, you know, that just you get.
I watched the Leon Slater thing happen. Earlier in the year, I was at Progress, and Progress booked him. And they're like, oh, we got to use this guy all the time. And then when I was back in the fall, it was when GCW was over there. And I literally saw, like, Brett, like, standing up watching it, being like, it's like, this guy's going to America. I can tell right now.
I had a good, I was lucky. I kind of got put onto him a little early because there was, when we were previously on BodySlam.net, there was a Brit Res podcast on there. And the guys were like, did you watch the Rev Pro anniversary show yet? And I was like, no. And they're like, you have to watch this Leon Slater guy against Mike Bailey. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Why not? And then they were like, he's only 17, by the way. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you have a Nick Wayne over there too?
Yeah.
And then
it's so funny.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I discovered him too. They were like, oh, there's another Nick Wayne. He's 17 too, and he's incredible. And then of course his finisher was going viral. So it was like, wow, this kid is on his way. And look, he's already on his way. It's pretty amazing to see. You know, we talk pretty often on this podcast about kind of that energy in Canada with the trying to not only get over in Canada, but trying to expand in different places. Do you feel that it going over to the UK, does it feel different as a Canadian wrestler? Stylistically, like the way that training happens, is there a big difference going over there compared to just staying at home and training?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Definitely a lot more focus on like the technical side,
right?
Of it, where I think like Canadian American independent wrestling for the most part. I mean, it depends on the show. Obviously, there's a lot of like very, highly like spotty matches, but
yeah,
I find the UK scene has a different flavor of it. There's a little bit more technicality behind it, I find, but it depends on the company, right? And depends on the wrestler as well. There's guys like Jordan Breaks over there who is like entirely like a technical wrestler, but then there's other guys that, you know, like a Nico Angelo that's technical, but also does, you know, high flying off the top rope. So it very much depends on the scene and the promotion.
You were talking about hitting into mainland Europe too. Were there any scenes that surprised you? You were like, whoa, I didn't even know there was wrestling here, or like or their shows were going to be like this out here.
Denmark, dude.
Denmark?
Denmark and Sweden. Like Denmark, I just did the show in Denmark. It was my third time doing Denmark, but this one specifically was like 900 people just drunk, just so drunk and so tall because they're, you know, they have Viking blood. Mm-hmm. Just losing their minds. And it was just like, this crowd was insane. And I didn't even know wrestling really existed there in Denmark. Sorry, my cat is now. I didn't even know wrestling existed in like the Scandinavian countries. But then I did Sweden, same thing. It was like a smaller venue, like 400 people. And all just like, they were so loud the entire time and just having so much fun. And then there's places like France where apparently the scene is kind of, it kind of took like a downward spiral for a little bit, but now with like companies like Bodyzoy and Rick's Catchfit have popped up. Fucking cat.
Hey, it's all right, man. We love some pet cameos on here. It's like
every pet ran in.
10% viewership bump if a pet shows up. I swear. Well,
come on camera then.
Pets are draws.
France specifically, like they just have these like six match cards in front of like 600 people. And like the setups they have for these stages are incredible, specifically Bodyzoy. Like, I felt like I was walking to like a WCW pay-per-view. It was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, six match card sounds so perfect.
It was a six match card. It was like a 2-hour show. It was
give me that.
We don't know that. What's that like?
Oh my god. That's like
10. Oof. Two. Well, I mean, eight's fine. Two, 10, 12,
It's like six matches and then intermission and then yeah, we'll have two six more.
Yeah, I'm like 2 hours. That's 2 hours and the show ends.
Right.
I'm like, you mean there's not a second half after that?
Now, sorry, do you guys think that's a problem of promoters just wanting to put too many talent on? Or is that fans demand that many matches? Because every fan is like, yeah, I wish the show was shorter.
So I honestly it's weird for me because if I'm going in person, I'm like, yeah, miss me with a 4 hour show. But if I'm watching at home on a stream, I'm like, yeah, I'm down for a 4 hour show.
Okay.
So I really think it depends on my perspective of how I'm attending the show, on what I want as a consumer. Okay. But like, I honestly, even watching at home, like if it's over 3 hours, we're starting to kind of already lose me a little bit. Like that my attention span and my excitement is waning. And I'm probably really high and just getting sleepy.
Yeah, I think that it's a show by show basis. I feel if there's like a tournament going on, like give me 4 hours. But if like you're a promotion that's running every month and you're putting out 4 hour shows every month, I don't know if I'm needing this, especially if we're doing repeat matches. We're seeing the same wrestlers on these same shows. I don't need to be gone for 4 hours. Give me 2 hours. Give me 2.5 hours and we're out of there. That's fire to me. But I do also understand, as like wanting to see more wrestlers and wanting wrestlers to get opportunities, maybe we do need 14 match shows so everybody can get a spot, you know?
Yeah. What we need to do is we also need to get a promoter who likes to book 14 match cards in here and be like, hey, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Question them for an hour about why do you go this way?
Yeah,
let them get into the budget and the details. Like, I want the specifics on why.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the question though, because it's something to consider. And I'm from the promoter side, I'm wondering if like, did they book that because they think that's what the fans want, or are they booking it because they're like, well, the more talent I have on this show is like the
because it's crazy because like Von
people that'll be like, I like that wrestler, you know. So it's like maybe
like Von says, a lot of fans are like, well, that was too long, or this show's too long, or this show's still going on. So it feels like a lot of the fans are like, don't do this.
You can feel it by the time you get to like, you know, if it's a 10 match card and if you're wrestling on 8th or 9th, like in the semi-main event,
right,
you feel the crowd just not really into it. You know, sometimes they come back up for the main event. Sometimes they don't. It just depends on what's being booked, right?
I think it depends.
As a wrestler, we always want to be. I mean, when you first start wrestling, you're like, oh, I want to be in the main event every single time.
Nice.
But then when you start getting into it, you're like, you're thinking about the crowd. You're like, oh, I kind of want to be before intermission, because after, if it's a long card, you're like, they're just not going to be into it.
Yeah,
but sometimes
I think quality of like what I'm watching too, like also helps, because you know I was at C4 in September. That show was like 3.5, almost 4 hours. And like,
yeah,
I was on my feet. Like I was geeked the whole time.
C4 like, is like a special example because everybody is drunk. Oh, sorry. They walk in not drunk. But by the time like intermission hits, they're drunk. So then
everybody gets drunk.
Yeah.
Everybody gets drunk.
Oh yeah. Second half. Yeah. I had some extra motivation going there for sure. I can.
I know you guys interviewed Mark. I listened to the interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Gonna acknowledge some super chats real quick before we move on. But Van Twinblade said, "You need to jump in the car with Jesse V and Shane Saber and come down to Glory Pro. Maybe you can pick up SRS scraps after you beat some Chaz.
I would love to come down to Glory Pro.
Yo, yeah, Dan the Dad. You know, Dan the Dad. If you listen, Vaughn.
What up, Dan?
Vaughn's that dude. Do it.
Plus, that's a good car. Jesse V and Shane Saber. I went to before. It was the best.
You got the Northern Crown sweater on, Shane Saber. Hello. Also, no message, but just $20 from Rand Druzarian. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate that, Andrew.
Love you. Thanks.
Really cool.
All right. Before I did got some more Europe questions for you, though.
That's pretty much my bread and butter.
Yeah. So. Europe gets trashed on for its food, accommodations, like other random stuff, like the construction and design of its toilets, the time that stuff closes. Have you like, okay, so give me a couple of bad ones.
I mean, yeah, food for sure.
Yeah.
English food specifically, not great.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean, having every other culture there is great. Like, if I want Indian food, it's there. If I want Japanese food, it's there. But I'm never going to sit down and, you know, I don't want to really sit down in an English pub and eat, like, bangers and mash. Mm-hmm. Or an English breakfast, most of it, like, you know, the beans, mm-hmm. You know, the black pudding. Most of that, to me, just goes in the trash. Bold claims. What were the other ones? You said accommodation and...
The time stuff closes. I'm sure you've been bit by that. As a wrestler, you have to
By
that after definitely. A show.
WXW in Germany, 16 karat. It's kind of like, it's in this city, but there's nothing open after like 6 p.m. There's like this very, very expensive sushi restaurant, the McDonald's, and there's like this little tiny like kebab shop. And you can't have kebab shops five nights in a row. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go to the sushi place because it's so expensive. You end up at McDonald's every single night. And you're ordering in, it's in German, so you don't know what the number is. But thankfully, they have, like, the touchscreen menus. But, like, mm-hmm. it's just, like, four or five nights at McDonald's, and it's like, oh, my God, I just want anything else.
Yeah, and, after midnight, McDonald's is not the same as, like, peak operation hours McDonald's.
Right.
There's a big difference in how the fat food tastes.
And you're stuck in there with, like, 1,000 German fans as well, and you're, like, trying to get your order, and you're just trying to, like, oh, God.
Yeah. Something I did notice this year in the fall was shortly after you left for Europe, a lot of fellow wrestlers from the Ontario area headed over to Europe for the first time.
Yep.
Was any of that, do you like, I know you're close with pretty much everyone who went. Is any of that inspired or helped by your trips?
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, I give them guidance mm-hmm. on what they need to do, and I give them contacts and whatnot, but it's kind of one of those things where, like, God, for years, ever since I started going, I would get, you know, every couple of weeks, like, hey, can I come to Europe with you? It's like, yeah, sure. But are you actually going to go?
Right.
Because there's so many people that say they want to go, but you kind of just, like, need to do it. And that's why I tell everybody, like, oh, I'd love to wrestle in Europe. Okay, then just do it. Because nothing's stopping you unless you just go. And, like, where do you start? Like, sure, you might not know anybody over there, but if you go to a wrestling school, you're going to meet people. And that's what I've told a lot of these guys. Like, just, you know, the group that just went over knew Wild Boar and Eddie Dennis from Wales. And, like, that's a great start. Go to their school. These are guys that wrestle on, like, Rev Pro and all these companies. Go to the companies they're helping out at and go from there. Because the thing is, if they want to come with me, I'm, you know, I was in Denmark for 5 days and I'm jumping around so much. Like, they're just, it's so pointless and so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely don't have time to really
not anymore.
Settle in and get to know already, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
How's that feel? Kind of like helping out, directly or indirectly with mm-hmm. Your peers, kind of finding other avenues to grow and expose mm-hmm. themselves to a broader audience instead of just following the typical Canadian route of, oh, I hope I don't get pinched at the border sneaking into the U.S. this time.
Yeah. I hope they don't check my tights and look for my merch. Yeah. It's good. It's gratifying to see all these guys kind of realize that, you know, there's only, you know, so much you can do in Canada. As much as a lot of us just want to, like, sit in Canada and make Canadian wrestling a thing, I think it's important that we go out there and represent Canadian wrestling.
Right.
So that, you know, mm-hmm. when I go to Italy or whatever, they're like, oh, so you're from Smash Wrestling, and they'll look up Smash Wrestling and then they'll watch matches or whatever. At least the hardcore fans will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all just kind of representation and just kind of, you know, spreading the good word of, like, our scene, because I love our scene. It's absolutely incredible. But the problem is, if you're an American independent wrestling viewer, why would you watch Canadian wrestling? There's so much. Like, of course you want to watch Deadlock or whatever, West Coast Pro or whatever it is. I don't blame you. I watch that too. Why would I look anywhere else other than America when there's just so much going on?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, like, find a way to attract those audiences. I think C4 is the one that's done a really good job of it, and Smash did for a while with European audiences, but it's just, there's just so much now. So much.
What do you specifically as a wrestler do to try to counteract that?
Social media, I think, is probably the most important thing. I've recently, mm-hmm. in the past 2 years, kind of tried to focus on that a little bit more and just, like, content. Like, any, like, any videographer who works for a company up here, like the next day, I'm like, hey, do you have any raw footage for me? Because I work in videography. So they're like, oh yeah, you won't make me look bad. Like, here's the raw footage. Do what you need to do with it.
Right.
And a lot of guys obviously don't promote themselves enough. They don't promote their bookings enough. They don't, you know, cut promos when they need to, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I just try to go the extra mile. Although I think I was talking with Young J Lee about this. Because I tend to cut promos for bigger matches, but I think it's kind of got me in a place where, like, people expect that from other people.
Right.
So I've kind of made other people look bad in a way, and I'm like, it's just more of a me thing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it depends on how, I guess how willing and how much time you have to be able to promote these sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I noticed you have a YouTube channel full of, like, match highlight videos, full match videos on there, promos and stuff that you've video promos and stuff you've done.
Yeah, there's a long catalog of stuff that I've done over the years, but it all kind of sits on the YouTube and that doesn't necessarily get seen, you know. Like some of these promos I put together take like 8 to 10 hours.
Wow.
It's kind of depressing sometimes when you put it up and it's like 100 views and you're like, well, I put so much time into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on the story and it depends on the match and it depends on time of day you post it and whatnot. Like,
am I stuck?
Oh, whose internet is it? Oh, I think it's Vaughn.
Okay.
In the meantime, how was your weekend, Reg?
Good American Thanksgiving times.
Yeah?
I guess. I don't know. It was kind of a dumb thing.
Travel's good. Good travels, good trip.
Yeah, it was mostly my trip was just driving. Like, I drove to LA for Full Gear, then I drove back, and then I drove back to Bakersfield and back. So it was just like sitting in my car mostly. Can't be mad at it. Got to see family, got to see some friends. So it was good.
Awesome.
How was the C4 show?
C4 show was dope. Definitely tune in and check it out on IWTV.
I saw somebody told us to watch the Kevin Blackwood and Junior Benito match. Did it hit?
Gotta watch Kevin Blackwood and Junior Benito. It was amazing. Congratulations to the new C4 champion.
Yes.
Benito. And it does look like Vaughn's back. Let's see.
Sorry about
that. It's okay. It's okay. We got to practice our improv and skills for a bit there.
I thought we were going through our Spotify raps.
No,
not Reg.
No, sir, not me.
He keeps his Spotify wrapped.
It's,
I respect that. I respect that.
You get it.
It is kind of nice to see somebody do away with the trend of being like, look what I listen to.
Cause like, who cares? Also, like, that's that's kind of become a thing of like people judging music, like, 99% of the time you're not listening to the same music that I'm listening to. Like, if we're in a car, yeah, but like what I'm listening to in my headphones, it doesn't matter that you don't care. Like, if I'm listening to Crazy Town super loud in my headphones, don't judge me. It's me, it's my ears. Butterfly.
Do you know other, like, do you listen to other songs of theirs outside of Butterfly?
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
I saw them when I was 13 years old in the weirdest place possible, which was Ozfest.
Oh, okay.
And like, for some reason,
13 at Ozfest is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was the first day I smoked weed. It was great. Saw a bunch of music. Got my, like face smashed up in a mosh pit because I was so much smaller than everybody else there. Great day, but yeah, then for some reason, just in the middle of all of like Slipknot, Marilyn Manson, Papa Roach, Linkin Park, like all the metal of the early 2000s, there's just like Crazy Town in the middle of all of it. And all you could see was, it was just like a blizzard of plastic water bottles just flying at the stage. It was incredible.
Crazy Town didn't deserve that. deserve to be on that show with the rest of those legends is what I'm saying.
They played Butterfly. Everyone's girlfriends got up on their shoulders, took their tops off, and then they stopped playing Butterfly and the water bottles came right back out. That's all. That's exactly what happened.
They should have just played Butterfly 13 times in a row.
Played it over and over again.
It's like a formative memory in my 13-year-old brain. From my 13-year-old brain, it's just burned in there now. I can't unsee that day.
I mean, you're probably high out of your mind though. So
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, for sure. Thank you for bringing up Crazy Town, Reg. Good
memories. Brings that memory up forever. Every time Crazy Town comes up, you just think of that Ozfest day. I love it.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's the exactly. Von made it back into the call. The internet seems good. Let's get back to talking about you. Oh my god. What were we talking about? You're talking about your Ontario. So the Ontario friends going to England. Speaking of friends from Ontario, we would probably kind of be remiss if we didn't mention your longtime tag team partner, Gabriel Forza, from the Candy Kids, aka Fight or Flight.
Jesus, don't say Candy Kids. Bad memory attached to that.
Oh, really? My bad.
No, it's fine.
Oh, because it's not often you see two people who team for close to a whole decade together in independent wrestling. How did the partnership begin?
It kind of began in training. Well, I was like 14. Forza was, I guess he was 17, 18 when he started. Mm-hmm. My dad would drive me to training because I was 14. Obviously, I couldn't drive. It was like an hour and a half from my house. So randomly one day he's like, who wants to give me a ride home? And I was like, I mean, we drive through there. Do you want to jump in with us? So we dropped him off. And then that became like our friendship kind of thing. And it's weird in wrestling training where we kind of realized this early on that like we loved wrestling, but we didn't necessarily realize that everybody around us didn't love it. 2004, and everyone else is talking about like Sin Cara, WWE, there's a different like level of like interest in wrestling that we had, and we just kind of had this bond over wrestling because of that. And then when we finally started doing matches, we didn't actually we didn't really think about becoming a tag team. It was just kind of put forth for us. And when that came up, we kind of realized like, oh shit, we have a lot of good chemistry here. And then they added Lexi and Nicole with us, and we became the Candy Kids, as we were named, because we were ravers and we were three people who definitely do not party. So it was a very, very strange character for us to be doing drugs. I'm 17. Yeah, not great. But we kind of formed that into our own style, which ended up being Fight or Flight. And then that became like our mainstay and Smash Wrestling and all these other things in Canada.
That's why I haven't been teaming since April.
We've just kind of been focusing more on our solo stuff. Like we were joking. We had a match in England. When we were there.
That was the third
match we've had this year. Like we've kind of focused. We felt like we've kind of done everything we could do in Canada. We've held like every tag title. So we're just kind of trying to do something different. We were looking at like what Stu and Uno did. Like they were a tag team for a long time, but they didn't split up, but they necessarily kind of went their own ways. And Evil Uno kind of made himself his own character, and Stu Grayson made himself his own character. So we kind of wanted to see what we could do solo, as well as see maybe come back together one day, kind of thing.
All right, cool. Happy to know that there's a potential, that there's still the chance for more Fight or Flight in my future.
What I will say is stay tuned.
Okay, perfect. I was gonna somebody mentioned in the chat now, but I was gonna circle back to this anyway, because we did recently discover that it was announced Alpha One is coming back. Mm-hmm. There's a big place for big place for you guys.
Yes.
How are you feeling about the news of Alpha One returning in 2024?
Great. I mean, they were the best Hamilton promotion, and we got to work with the Rascals. We got to work with Brian Cage and Josh and Ethan Page. We worked with a lot of people there for we came into Alpha One mid 2019, like right before the pandemic, right before everything shut down. And we had this great run where we won the tag titles and all this stuff, and then everything went to shit. So who's to say that we don't pop up there in February?
Hey, Maybe. Uh-huh. Who knows? I don't know.
Stay tuned.
But, yep. I was going to say, do you have some singles aspirations within Alpha 1 while you're at it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I have singles aspirations everywhere. It just depends on what we're going for. Could be tag, could be singles. I can't say.
We did have we did have Matthew Grant on here with us last week, and he mentioned him and his brother JT having a match with you guys at Alpha 1. He mentioned on the show that boy, how they would love to run that one back now that they've had 4 years of improvement under their belts.
What happened in this match, Vaughn?
Did you talk about the context of where this wrestling match was?
No. I mean, he just said want to run it back with Fight or Flight. So yes, please elaborate.
Not your typical Alpha 1 show. This was Alpha 1 in Curtis, Ontario.
Oh God, was it at the Curtis flea market? Oh God.
Is that the what?
At the flea market.
I used to say
it was like October too. It was a little bit cold.
Shout out to my old hometown of Curtis, Ontario.
Yeah, I want to say we had 25 minutes or something ridiculous for like this tag match, and it was just I don't know. I don't think Matthew and JT were at the experience level that they needed to be, and I think we were just like beating them up for like 25 minutes. I remember us taking a broom and like pushing them out of the ring at one point.
Oh.
So I can see why they probably want to redo the match.
Totally. Yeah. 25 minutes at a flea market just sounds wild too.
Yeah, it was something.
That's a hell of a match. That...
It's out there somewhere, wherever.
I'm going to find it, trust me. Honestly, a 25 minute tag match at a flea market sounds like par for the course for exactly what I'd be looking for in some wrestling.
Totally.
Yeah, give me all of that.
You guys just destroyed them.
In my memory, yes, maybe not. But in my memory, I just remember sweeping them out of the ring. So.
Right. Talk to us a little bit about some of the opponents that you had in your recent European run.
Yeah, because
it seemed like you had a pretty tight schedule out there.
Yeah, I worked with, let's see here, Michael Finn out of Denmark. He's like kind of like the Danish golden boy. He's incredible. Great dude. Who else did I work with while I was there? I went to Germany. I worked with Yuval Goldschmidt. Mm-hmm. You remember when Big Show wrestled Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one really remembers it, but it was like after WrestleMania, like
he
challenged for the title. That was my role at this show. Yuval Goldschmidt won the championship, and then I came out, and like the heel manager came out and said, like, oh, he's challenging for the title. So I did the Big Show spot at this random show.
All right.
Little Germany, which was hilarious. So that was fun. Yuval was great. Who else did I work with? Oh, Progress. We had the match with Casey Navarro.
Yeah, that four-way.
Yes.
Oh, I need to have a singles with Casey so badly. He's incredible.
Do it, Warrior.
Warrior would be great. There's a lot of places we could do that, for sure.
Yeah, Casey's insane.
Yeah, super good guy, too. Did that. I wrestled a guy in France named A-Buck. That was fun. Really fun.
Oh, A-Buck. Yeah, he's on the BW 500.
Yeah, that dude's a beast. Holy shit, he spine-bustered me like 10 feet in the air. It's crazy. Worked with X in a four-way. I think you're familiar with Robbie X, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robbie X is great. That's another one I want to do a singles with, for sure. That dude just works on another level. I'm trying to remember who else.
A lot of different styles.
I love this. These are names we don't get to hear very often either. So
exactly.
Like, I'm in Canada. I know what Canada has to offer. I see what America has to offer all the time, but it's like when people put when I used to get put onto the UK people from the Tea and Tights podcast, I'd be like, oh, thank you. So
there's a lot of good dudes over there for sure. There's a lot of matches like I still need to have. Like I've worked with Michael Oku. And like scrambles and tags, and like that's a singles that I just absolutely need to have. Robbie X for sure as well. Nico Angelo, if you're familiar with him, is another guy that's really, really, really fucking good.
Francesco Akira. No,
I just work with Francesco in Canada, yeah, but that's another one we're going back because that was at the like London like fair. So doing that at a actual show would be good. There's a lot of good people. I've wrestled with a lot of good people this year. Like Brian Keith was another one that was incredible.
Yeah.
Worked with him in Edmonton earlier this year, and that was fun. Nice.
Hey, you know what? You mentioned the great city of Edmonton, Alberta. I almost called it Edmonton, Ontario. It is totally a segue, but hey, you mentioned the great city of Edmonton, Alberta, and I've been known to do some content for the fine folks that love wrestling. Love pro wrestling based out of Edmonton, Alberta. We had Spencer Love back on here back in August. You should go watch that episode.
Shout out to Spencer.
Hear all about Love Pro Wrestling because they're incredible people. But they gave me some permission to do a little announcement here. Make sure I got the right thing on this time. Boom, I did it. Aha.
Oh, hey, that's me.
Wow.
On a Taylor Swift poster. Let's go.
Yeah.
I am challenging for the LPW Grand Championship.
Yeah, so whoever that might be come that point in time, because it's all in January. They still got a show in December to get through.
Yeah, they still got to get through it.
Big news. We dropping exclusives on Indeed.
I'm looking forward to that, because last time I was there, I was defending the PCW UK Cruiserweight Championships. Now I'm challenging for their championship. Boom. I don't know who it could be, though.
I'm pretty sure the match on the next show is already out, so it's like a coin flip between
possibly
the two of them.
RB?
Probably
him. Probably MRB.
That'd be nice. Where else do you, what else do you have coming up?
Where am I? Oh, I got Destiny Wrestling this weekend. Judas Icarus and Will Austin, who I'm not very familiar with. Somebody from OVW, apparently. Mm-hmm. His name sounds very familiar to Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
He does a lot of Will Ospreay moves. Will Austin. Got it. Barry Wrestling challenging for the Three Pistols Championship with Young Jay Lee, conveniently, and Van Landen. Mm-hmm. Where's that? There's not a lot happening in December. There's a lot of stuff happening in January. I'm wrestling Matt Cross at Smash Wrestling.
Oh, sweet.
Where's that Smash show?
That one is London. There's also a Saturday show where I'm wrestling Charles Crowley in Toronto.
Oh.
So
there. That might be a weekend for me. That might be a weekend for me.
To make it would be
Great. I live directly between the two, so I'll figure it out.
Where are you, Guelph?
Hamilton.
I guess I'm
more London leaning. I don't know, because Toronto, they're both like an hour away.
I mean, London's probably easier to get to. Well, maybe not. It's January. Probably not. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of stuff that just isn't announced. Like, I have something at the end of December that just got confirmed, but I can't talk about it. And then, January, the Smash stuff's going on. Edmonton. And there's another thing that's not. There's a few things I just can't talk about. They're not out. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get in shit. So.
No.
What I will say is I'll probably go back to Europe in March. So that's an announcement, I guess.
Ooh. Nice.
All right.
That's soon.
That is. Keep your eyes peeled if you're across the pond. Well, damn, Vaughn. I appreciate you coming in here to join us. It's good getting to talk to you, hear all about Europe. And we often hear the Canadians talk about how hard it is to get into the U.S. and to, build your, find your way, find your way building your name in Canada. And I think what you're doing with, your trips to Europe and these tours that you're doing, that, booking for yourself, just betting on yourself with this. Mm-hmm. You're onto something.
Yep.
I hope so. I hope I'm onto a little bit of something. It feels like these past 2 years, I've definitely been making some ground. So I'm hoping to kind of continue that into America a little bit more, hopefully in the future. Mm-hmm. So
I notice when I retweet your stuff, I get like European people in like my replies now being probably. Like, I saw him in England. And
I like to think I have a little bit of a European background at this point. I basically the past 2 years I've been there for 3 months at a time. So basically like a quarter of my year has been spent in England. Well, I mean, in Europe, but mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm glad you're here in Canada so we can see you for a bit before you go back over there.
Yes, and I would definitely see you in Hamilton.
Oh, most certainly. Yeah. I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, come to Smash. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, for sure. Or, yeah, I know you got to come through town to beat up Travis Moore a couple more times, surely. So
I think we're done with that. He, that's not go back to that. Where the hell are you, Reg?
I'm in Oakland, California.
Oh, California. I mean, I got to go out there. Yeah. My aunt lives in Palm Springs. I've been meaning to go down there and check out some indies there for sure. So hopefully I get to meet
you. There's a bunch. A million. Hopefully you can get out here.
Yeah, California.
That'll happen for sure.
I could think of some California folks that I would love to see Von Vertigo wrestle. Holy shit.
Yeah. A whole bunch.
Titus Alexander. Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah. We like that. We like that a lot. Shout out to Titus. Shout out to Vinny. And shout out to AlphaZo being out in Japan right now. Hell so yeah. I love it. I love my boys being out there tearing it up.
Hell yeah. For sure. Mm. Von, where can the people find you at? What you got to plug? And if you got anything else to plug, now's your time to do it.
For sure. Von Vertigo. So at Von Vertigo. You can see it conveniently at the bottom of the screen right here. Yeah. Twitter. No, don't do Facebook. That's stupid. Instagram, TikTok. And then if you want to follow my very stupid backyard wrestling company I did during the pandemic, you can follow Backyard Pro on YouTube. And you can watch Josh Alexander wrestle in his basement.
I didn't know this was a thing. I'm very interested in this.
Well, you have to bring me back now.
So, mm-hmm.
I might be watching some Backyard Pro on Twitch this weekend. I'm not going to lie. We might do some Backyard Pro watch logs on my Twitch this weekend.
It's all up for free on YouTube. It's entirely like, boom. I produce most of it. Like, it's all very good quality. It's probably the best work of my career. Fuck the wrestling. Backyard Pro.
I cannot wait.
Yes.
Oh my God. Thank you so much again. Reg, where can everyone find you at?
You can find me every Saturday. I'm on with Philip Lindsay, Grab City Podcast, Fightful Network. I'm going to be on with Denise tonight, AEW Dynamite post show. Tomorrow I'm on with Kate, the Ring of Honor post show. Tomorrow's also Ask Grab City. I'm on Twitter sometimes. I hate it there. But you can find me in places that you would find people that are places. So, yeah. I mean, Righteous Reg.
It's called X.
So you know. X. No. Oh, yeah. No.
Is it though? Yeah, and me, you know, same place here every Wednesday, 6 o'clock, talking to independent wrestlers or any other folk that are adjacent to the walk of independent wrestling. Sundays, Brunch Gimmick, Love Wrestling, 1 p.m. Here next week, it's actually kind of funny. I really like what we've done the last 3 weeks with the guests, because last week we had Matthew Grant on here, who started out as a referee, and he's transitioned into wrestling now, and you know he's got a few years under his belt. And then we have Von Vertigo this week, a decade under the influence of independent wrestling, and traveling not only across Canada but branching out into the European scene, taking the speedball Mike Bailey approach, which is quite apropos because next week we will be joined by Speedball Mike Bailey.
Finally, finally, the man himself, Speedball Mike Bailey, on Indeed next week. It's been all this buildup. Von mentioned him. Every Canadian that comes on the show mentions him. So it's apropos that we have the man himself, Speedball Mike Bailey, next week. Very excited about it.
Yeah, every Canadian and everyone non-Canadian, I think, who's been on here.
Pretty much, I think we might have said his name once on our show every single show that we've had. So, I mean,
yeah, well,
somebody. So,
sure, that means we'll have lots of questions for him and lots of people in the chat to ask him some questions, too. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, go to some shows this weekend, buy some merch, watch wrestling and say nice things about it. And if you didn't like stuff, just don't talk about it. Don't be a dick. Yeah. Have some fun. We'll love you. See you next week. Peace.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.